goes, so I have some expectations that some might not have the page. If you do, don't take a second one.
What number?
It says on the 69 and 70. Let's take a look to see if you have them. Just go ahead.
Thank you.
It's been a while, so I don't remember if we finished. Did we do Ice Hay and to see? We need to review and to go back into the Indian.
We did Ice Hay, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go over Ice Hay very quickly. It's been a long time. That's on page, what is that on page? In the little ones.
I involve in the little ones,
and in page Nun Dalet in the old one, the big one. Perek Vav. I say, again, we did it. We went through it pretty quickly. We'll go through a little bit more to explain, and we're going to learn then a little bit from the Perish of, from Rav Avinir. It brings from Rav Kook's letter and from one of the Talmidim of Rav Kook. Let's just go over it quickly. Page. You don't have it in the little one?
Page I and
A? I and Bob.
I and Bob.
Yeah. Okay, again, let's learn. Quickly, Yispateach HaYishu Beretz Yisrael. Rav Kook is speaking here about the two stages of the Pekida and the Zechir that we're learning about in the Shiurim, in Hakitza Rananu, the Ramchal. The two stages of redemption, the first stage being when there's a flow of Shefa of Bracha that comes into the physical Mitzvahs of the Jewish people to be free, finally to be able to leave Golas, to be able to rebuild the land, to establish ourselves in a healthy, normal way. That's the Pekida, Mashiach ben Yosef, ultimately leading to the complete and final redemption of Mashiach ben David, where the Ruchnius and the Kedusha will be fully revealed in Am Yisrael. So the difficulty, of course, lies in that time in between the Pekid and the Zechir. That's what we're talking about. Rav Kook wrote a great deal about this, and he lived in this, and he felt it every moment of his life. We feel it also. We're part of that time, but the Pekida is already, we see that there's been a tremendous awakening. The Tchiyah has started. There's been a great return to the land, and the land is in our rishus, and there's excitement over rebuilding. We feel that even those of us who are still not living in Eretz Yisrael, we don't feel the weight of Golus that we did in the past. We have the freedom to move, to go, to come. We have the freedom to build for ourselves lives of Kedusha and so on, and to determine with Hashem's help our own destiny, our own future. So the Pekida is very much underway. Until that time of Mashiach Medavid, it should be soon, it should be in a minute. Until that time, between the Pekida and the Zechira, so Rav Kook speaks a great deal about that time, which is the time that he felt so strongly, because that's when everything was beginning in Rav Kook's lifetime. That's when everything was beginning, the return, the tchiyah, the revival of the Jewish people in our land. That's when it was really beginning in earnest during Rav Kook's lifetime. And it continues. But the question is in between the Pekid and the Sechir, between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, in that world of in between, what happens and how should we look at it? One could look at it in a very, very pessimistic and depressing way, but of course Rav Kook rejects that entire Mahalach. And Rav Kook offers us a very deep and optimistic view of our lives, of the present time. That the issue of the settlement of the land will develop, and the national building will be erected, will be rebuilt. There will be tremendous ruach that will be exhaled into it. In other words, now the physical structure is being built, but it's still like a little bit of a golem. It doesn't yet have the nishmas chayim, the inner soul, the content, has not yet been blown completely into the physical structure. The mezgeres, the physical structure is being developed, but the neshama, which is Mashiach ben David, which is David HaMelech, but the neshama, the schira, the neshama hasn't yet been fully revealed. There isn't yet that Nishmas Chaim. So he says, Mitoch Yafuach Ruach Gadol, but a great Ruach is going to be blown infused into this building of the Jewish people. It's going to be infused into this Mizgeris, this physical framework that we're working so hard on to build and to develop in Eretz Yisrael. Nishmas Ha'uma Tis'ar L'Tchiyah. That's the Zechir, that's Mashiach Ben David. The nishmas ha'umat is erlet chi, but even that's going to be, we're going to see very strong signs of that, even before the ultimate arrival of Mashiach himself. We're going to see signs of life returning, of the revival of the Jewish people. But that's nishmas ha'umat, the soul of the nation, is going to be awakened and brought back to life. Ma'im ektiva takiris kol mahusa, and from the depths of her nature, she will recognize her real essence, her very essence. Me'oitzem koicha techoinin esidri chayah ha'atzmiyim. And she's going to establish mi'oitzem kaicha, all the orders of her essential existence, of her life. In other words, not just the chitzonius, the external framework, but mi'oitzem kaicha techoinen esidrei chayah ha'atzmi. Ruach hamiyuchad shel ha'uma yechoinen emunas Hashem elokei Yisrael ba'olam. And then the unique ruach of the Jewish people is going to establish emunas Hashem elokei Yisrael in the whole world. Then we're going to be able to begin to work on not only ourselves, once we are who we're supposed to be, then we can begin to affect tremendous, tremendous cataclysmic, unbelievable changes in the entire world, the whole world. Certainly within ourselves. Therefore, Rav Kook says that one should not be mitzdar misyayish, not to despair and be discouraged from all of the turbulence that we see taking place within the nation, gama kilkulim shumakalkav mahalocha, and all of the things that are getting messed up along the way, all the kilkulim that we see, all the terrible kilkulim that are taking place. Soifim lover lechlal binyan v'tikun. In the end, everything will be rebuilt, and there'll be this great tikun. And this great koach will burst forth, the inner strength of the Jewish people will burst forth. And then there'll be this great natural and inner feeling of this urging, this great need, that penetrates, that comes from the very depths of who we are. So hechrech mitoch hechrech pnimi. It's no longer Hashem holding the mountain over our heads now, saying, "Okay, we'll do it." there's a feeling of hecher pnimi. I can't live without this. That the Jewish people will feel that we can't live anymore without Mashiach ben David. We can't live anymore without Torah and Mitzvahs. We can't live anymore without Kedusha. And this is going to take place with the Jewish people in these final stages of the Pekida moving into the time of the Sechim. The natural character of the Jewish people, the natural need of the Jewish people, will bring to great tshuva, but to a great movement of tshuva of return. Tremendous, tremendous movement of tshuva. It's a tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva that comes from love, not tshuva that's natural, that's healthy, not because of intimidation or fear, but tshuva that's natural and that comes from ahava, from love. B'lo yishum nefila chamranis. Without any collapsing and falling and setbacks that happen when a person's tshuva comes out of fear, then essentially his tshuva is just out of concern for himself. And we see this very often, that when Yiddishkeit is working for this person who's trying to do tshuva, so then he does well. And he's happy, and he's moving along in a nice way. But when he does not see good results of his tshuva, and he doesn't see that his life is changing dramatically, since the tshuva came for himself to try to improve his state of life, so that tshuva was a tshuva that came from here out of fear. He felt that since I'm not a good boy, I'm not a good girl, so God is punishing me. So I'll be a good boy. I'll try to do better, and then life will be better. So the underlying yisod of that tshuva is the self. It's selfish. It's selfish. Therefore, that type of tshuva has many setbacks. When a person's tshuva is motivated by the self, it has many, many setbacks. It's very fragile. It falls apart very easily. It's not a strong tshuva. It's not natural. It doesn't come from a hecher pnimi. It doesn't come from that feeling of, I want to come back. I want to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from a feeling of, I don't want to have aggravation. I don't want to have tzaras. Not from a hechach pnimi. Not from a rotzen. And anything that comes in such a way that it doesn't come from a hechach pnimi is a tshuva that doesn't come from within the person, but it comes for fear of being hit or beaten. So that tshuva is a tshuva that has many, many nefilas that come along with it. Many, many nefilas that it's not strong, and the person falls apart, and it's very hard to keep it together. Kim tshuva pnimis. Tshuva pnimis. That's a very sweet sound. I don't know what it's doing here. Kim tshuva pnimis. Hanoivas mi oimek ha'emes shebor ha'chaim shel neshama. A tshuva pnimis that is springing from, that's flowing from the true oimek of the Orach Chaim, the light of life, of the neshama itself, of the soul itself. So we're in that time. We're in that time where we're in between. And the way I explained before Yontif, and we're going to see inside in a minute, is that the reason that Rav Kook is saying that we shouldn't be depressed or discouraged is because the same way when it's with a child, at the early stages of a child's life, as the child, in the beginning, the child just listens to commands and follows and so on, and the parents are all excited. You see these parents, they go out of their kalim because they see their 4-year-old like chuckling and saying words from the siddur or something, and to them it's like they have the you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein or something over here. And then that's, you know, you put the yarmulke on the kid, you put the siddur in his hand, and you told him zup, you know, and he says and then when the kid starts to think, so then he says I don't want to daven, I'm not going to shul, and everybody gets to forget it. There goes my Rav Moshe Feinstein, everything is verfallen, you know, it's not working out. And the kid doesn't want to follow orders. Everything you say, the kid wants to do the opposite. So we spoke about that. The need that the child has to find himself is part of, it's a healthy part of growing. There are people that they follow orders their entire lives. There are people like that. If you want to have a kid like that, if you scream at him loud enough and you scare him enough, you might, you know, it might work out. Of course, it's going to cost a lot for therapy and other things. You know, might work out. It used in the past that there were some stories like that worked. You know, that they remained observant Jews till they died. Along the way, they died all the time, but until they finally died at 120, they remained observant Jews. But nowadays, it doesn't go anymore. Since we're before Mashiach, we're before the Shechir, before we're at a time where there's a feeling of a hechrich pnimi. That's, in other words, the inner will of the Jew is screaming out now. When the child's inner will begins to call out, that's when the parents begin to have aggravation, right? The parents say, "Go to school." He says, "No, Davin, I don't want to." So you can get very, very upset about it, and you can start to cry and say, "Gaval, everything is finished." Or you could understand that there's not a theological debate you're having with your 6-year-old or 7-year-old. You tell him to go to shul on Shabbos. It's not any kind of a theology. He's saying, "I don't understand the nature of tefillah, and it's machlokes Rambam and Ramban of whether it's derais or it's derabban." He's not. The kid is not in that place. He's just, he doesn't want to. You also don't want to, but you're afraid not to. But he doesn't want to. You would also rather stay in bed Shabbos morning. But he doesn't want to, and he says, "No, I'm not going." So the Rav Kook is saying, don't be depressed about that. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of life. Sometimes the kid that agrees with everything, and the parents feel so confident that this kid is a gevaldik, all of a sudden he comes to 15, 16, 17, or sometimes a little bit later, and then he just disappears. So you don't know what's going on. The kid was, and you have these parents saying all the time, "I don't know, he was such a good boy, she was such a good girl, he did everything we said, she did everything we said, everything was great, it was the best kid in yeshiva, was this," and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, anything that the kid could do it's so irrational that the kid is doing things that are self-destructive just not to agree with the parents. Just to disagree with the establishment. Where does that come from? It comes from a hechrech pnimi, to be myself. And since the child has not matured to understand that this is myself, the kid feels that the parents are imposing their own will upon him, and he's resentful, and he's fighting against that. So there are going to be all kinds of kilkulim, terrible kilkulim growing up. Again, it's different with different... Obviously, every neshama is different, David. But there could be many kilkulim. So Rav Kook is saying, "Ein l'star l'siyayish klal. Don't be mistar, don't be misyayish. Don't be misyayish when you see such a thing." The fact that the Jewish people, during the stage of the Pekida, the final stages of Pekida, leading up to the Zechir, the Jews are kicking and screaming and saying, "No, I'm not doing this. No, they're going against everything their parents said, everything they learned in yeshiva." That generation of Rav Kook was living... At that time, he was living with all these former frum people in yeshiva bochum, guys and girls that were raised in homes of Torah and mitzvahs that they were absolutely not, and they just wanted to roll up their sleeves and to work the land, and they didn't want to see a pair of tefillin. Didn't want to hear any zemiras on Shabbos. Leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Engle starless yais. Don't be mistabi or be misyayish at all. There's what's happening is that there's a need to come into contact with that hechrech pnimi, with the inner will. And right now, in a state of immaturity, the inner will is identified as being defiant, as being against. Did I read to you last time at the end? There's a piece that I wrote down from the Iris Hatchiyah Mem Dalet. About Mekubolim Anu, the Kabbalah that Rav Kook had, did we have a chance to get to that? So let me just read to you. This is from Arz Atchiyah Memdal. I just wrote it down in my Arz Chayfet. So just listen to the words. Mekubolim Anu, Rav Kook says, Mekubolim Anu, we have a Kabbalah. Shemerido Ruchanis Tia Be'eret Yisrael, or Yisrael, that there is going to be a Merida Ruchanis. What does it mean, a Merida? A rebellion, an uprising. Mekubalim anu shemerida, merida ruchanis tia be'eretz Yisrael will take place. Now there'll be a merida, a rebellion, a spiritual uprising. Be'eretz Yisrael will be Yisrael, not just Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the headquarters, but by all wherever Jews are. Beretz Yisrael b'Yisrael. B'perek shascholas tchiyah se'uma tis'ar alava. At the time when the revival, when the tchiyah of the Jewish people is going to begin. Hashalva hagashma shetova l'chelik me'ha'uma. We have a Kabbalah. The great physical, financial prosperity will reach parts of the nation. Like now. It's never, ever been anything like this. Hashalva hagashmis, there'll be certain physical tranquility that will come to chelak umut, to a significant part of the Jewish people, who will be able to, because again, it's the pekida, and physically and financially and so on, we're doing much better. That's the inyan, what the Chayzer from Lublin said in Eish Eschal, v'tokam ba'od layla, v'titen teref levesa, v'chorklin ha'ariseh, that the mother gets up while it's still night and gives food to her little ones. So the inyan of that, the Chayzer says, is while it's still night, before the ultimate redemption of Mashiach ben David, while it's still the night of Golas, v'tokam ba'od layla, the Shechina will get up and will feed her children. That means that before Mashiach will come, there'll be great financial prosperity. That the Jews will be able to have a good life. Physically, the things will be much better. Hashalva hagashmis, and not to be threatened all the time with our enemies and pogroms and tsaros and so on. Tav shalva gashmis shetovu lechelik mehauma, ashiyadamu shekvar bo'u lematerosam kula. And therefore, many Jews will think that they've already reached the objective of redemption. In other words, it's good. The five towns are fine. Everything is good. I have a nice house. I have a shul. There's a mikveh. There are yeshivas. I can spend almost every day of the year eating in a different restaurant if I want. So what could be bad? Everything is good. And people are going to think, No Orthodox Jews would say that. No one would say that. That's this is geula. They're fine with it, but we're not crying for Mashiach ben David. They're not saying it's geula. People that are secular are saying, "Some must speak long. This is it. This is the messianic redemption. Times of Mashiach have arrived." You have Uber, and now there's a thing called Uber Eats. You heard about that? You heard of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like, I just heard about it. That means you could have a taxi that's going to deliver your sushi to you, to your door. You don't have to go to get it. It'll come to you. I mean, there was always a thing you can get a delivery, but now I guess this is different somehow. I know, because it's an Uber that does it, not the delivery that does it. Probably just means they charge you more. I don't know what it means. But you have Uber Eats. You could just sit at the table and open your mouth, and then the Uber is going to come and is going to put it into your mouth. So life is good. Life is good. And for many people, this is enough. Like the story from the that happened with the Kosher of Magabit, when crying and whatever, that the Rebbe said, we're all going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then she said, let all the Cossacks go to Eretz Yisrael, and then we have a nice house over here. Because the Rebbe was talking about we have to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Mashiach, we have to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to greet Mashiach. Mashiach's coming, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. And so the husband came home, he was all excited, he heard the Rebbe's shiur, and he went back and told his wife, he told the Rebbe, I have to ask permission from my wife, you know the story. So he went to his wife, and he comes back to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, no, we're going to go. So he said, my wife said that the kids are finally married, and it's quiet, and we have a comfortable house, and everything is good over here. And life is good, so we don't want to go there. We're not interested in going to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe said, but ask your wife, what about the Cossacks? In other words, any minute there could be another pogrom. What about the Cossacks? So he said, I'm gonna ask her. So he went and he comes back to the Rebbe, and he says, no, your wife's ready. We're ready to go to Yerushalayim. So he said, no, my wife said life is good over here. Tell the Rebbe to send the Cossacks to Yerushalayim and leave us alone. That's what she said. It's a very deep marshal. Send the Cossacks to Yerushalayim. Leave us alone. Everything is good over here. What do we need it for? Right? How are we going to get our houses into an apartment someplace over there? Think about it. It's difficult, no? Just, we can't get the stuff in our garage into an Eretz Yisrael apartment. So what's going to be? So there are many people who will feel, Rav Kook writes, we have this Kabbalah, that Ashiyadamu, they're going to imagine, Shekrabo lematerosam kula. That we've already, no one's saying it like this, but, I mean, secular people, but religious people wouldn't say it, but we already are, it's good. Of course people say, yeah, but people still die, they get sick, and you know, Mashiach will come, it'll be nice. We won't have this stuff. We won't have a certain aggravation that I'm having in my life. You know, when Mashiach comes, then the humidity won't ruin my hair or something. You know, life is going to be better. Taktin es haneshama. And because of this mistake that people will make before Mashiach comes, thinking that it's enough, because life is better, because the pekida is going well. Taktin es haneshama. It will shrink. Meaning it will cause the neshama to be obscured. Taktin es haneshama. Hashi'ifa li'idealim nisoyim ukadoshim techdal. The great longing for exalted ideals that are and holy ideals will become weak. Memela yered haruach v'yishka. Ruchnius will go down, and v'yishka and will sink. Hashi'ifa l'di'elim nisoyim, the she'ifa for great ideals, which we've spoken about this many, many times over the years. We don't have to go back a long time. I mentioned this and discussed this, that when I was growing up, there was a tremendous idealism, both in Eretz Yisrael and in the Chutz La'aretz. Even here in Chutz La'aretz, there's tremendous idealism. There was a certain fire, there was an idealism. That we grew up in it with a ruach of idealism. It led to all kinds of crazy things, that time of the 1960s. It was crazy stuff that was going on. But there was such an idealism. There was such a fire. There was such a bren in the world. In Eretz Yisrael, there was such an idealism, especially in 1967, by the Milcham, and then afterwards, there was such a fire of idealism. And Techtel. Before Mashiach comes, there's a Kabbalah that's going to become very weak. And people are just going to get caught up in their physical well-being and having things better physically during the time of the Pekidah, because things, you know, when somebody didn't have for a long time, then he has, so he can get carried away with it. So Am Yisrael, for many, many years, we didn't have much in this world. And now we have, and we can't get enough of it. Can't get enough. And the neshama shrinks. I mean, the neshama, the ruchnius shrinks. And the shifa, that longing for great ideals. By the way, even ideals, that he speaks about idealim nisoyim ukadoshim, great and holy ideals. I appreciate idealistic people, even if it's not with holiness. I have respect for them. Even if it's something that's ridiculous, I still respect them if they're idealistic. It's something. You know, when you meet an idealistic person, even if his ideal is something which is strange or it's off, it's not an ideal of Kedusha. But the Kol HaPachas, the person is living something that's higher than himself. He's living for something that's higher than himself, and there's something chashuv about that. There's chashivas in that. Of course, it's dangerous because it could be for something which is very, the hepech of Kedusha. It could be the opposite of holiness. But idealism is something which is a very, very rare commodity. Think about the kids nowadays, the average, just listening on the conversations that kids have these days. And I've mentioned this in the past. When we were kids, we used to argue about, like, Vietnam and stuff like that, whether America should be in Vietnam or outside of Vietnam. Listen to the conversation of kids now, where they're talking about whether we should be in Iran or Afghanistan, or we shouldn't be. Yeah, they said, what's Afghanistan? You can't even get him to look in your eyes because he's too busy looking up his fun little thing on the, what's Afghanistan? Never heard of Afghanistan. You know, there are Americans that are dying overseas. Why? Why don't they just stay in New York? Why do they leave Lawrence? Because they're protecting democracy in the world. What's democracy? As far as the world is concerned, he has it in his hand. You listen to the conversations of kids, what they talk about. Talk about other people. Talk about fun, about things, places. I'm talking about even from kids. What do they talk about? Just they listen to it. If there'd be just tape, if tapes of the kids, what they're talking about.
What's a tape?
What's a tape? Right. Just to listen to what they're talking about. Listen to the conversation. Sometimes stop yourself and listen to what you're talking about. I would do that sometimes. I mean, the kids didn't appreciate it. Like at the Shabbos, at the table, I would say, stop, stop. And go, oh, they're like in the middle of this whole thing about what so-and-so, and this one's marrying so-and-so. Did you hear that this one's going out with so-and-so? Do you know this one got divorced from so? Did you hear this one? I think that this could be a possible thing. Stop. It's Shabbos. I goes, oh, Daddy, whoa. Everybody just looks into their, they look into their smears. And I start to say, you know, you're in a matzah by Manoach, a little bit new. It's in the middle of making a shidduch between Chai Sprinza and Beryl, you understand? And all of a sudden, Daddy's like, well, boy, Hashem is Shabbos, Abenim Abbas. Oh, no. You never had that? I'm the only one that had that? What are they talking about? But I'm telling you that oh, we did that. We didn't talk about these things actually when we were kids. I mean, but when we were kids, we talked about a lot of Nairishkeit, but we spoke a lot about important things. Things that were, that we spoke a lot about idealism, about going to Eretz Yisrael, and about what we want the world to be. All kinds of funny things, and we had all kinds of strange ideas, but we were in the sugya of idealism. I'm talking about kids. The greatest ideal is if you have a Galaxy 8 and I have a Galaxy 9. And this is the whole... And I'm saying a very general thing. There are many exceptions, of course, to that. But the overall ruach is a ruach of shrunken souls, of neshamas that are not speaking loudly. And Rav Kook says that mekubalim onu, we have a Kabbalah. And again, not to be misyayish, not to be mitzdayer, that we have a Kabbalah that this is going to be before Mashiach comes. That there's going to be a preoccupation, an obsession with the shalva, with that tranquility that we finally have after thousands of years of misery. That there's some quiet, there's some tranquility. And therefore there's going to be a preoccupation with this world. And the neshama and the idealism is we're going to see it shrinking. So what's happening at the same time is that on the one hand, there is a certain powerful light of independence, which is a healthy sign, of a person wanting to be himself. But then what does he want himself? What is it that he's looking for? What is he identifying as his need? If one's need is Dveikus Bashem and Kedushas Yisrael v'chulu, so then that's fantastic. But what happens when you have somebody who desperately wants to be himself, not his parents, not his rebbeim, not his teachers, he wants to be himself. And what is himself? You know, Starbucks, whatever. That's himself. What is himself? Or he wants to do some crazy thing with his life, he wants to be a... he's 17 years old, he wants to leave school and to open up a hedge fund or something. That's himself. And you say, but you think this is the right thing for you to do right now? Absolutely, this is the right thing for me to do. He wants to be a billionaire when he's a kid, and he wants to, and his parents are holding him back for what he truly wants to do. So on the one hand, the fact that he's rebelling against his parents, there's a sign of health in that he wants to find himself. But then you have the materialism of the Pekida, where he identifies himself with $1 billion, as opposed to 1 billion mitzvahs, he identifies it with $1 billion. So then we have the masiv that we're in right now. So you'll have, at the same time that all this happening, you have all of a sudden the same thing. You have kids that were raised in homes that were very, very much... that were very... connected to physical prosperity, and you have the kids that are growing up in these homes, and they're rebelling against that, and they want to have, they want to sit in an apartment someplace. You have these girls that come back from seminary, and they come, they had these rich girls that come back from seminary. They say, I want to spend the rest of my life in a small apartment, you know, in Ramat Eshkol. They think they do, they're not going to find out later on that they would like it to expand. But I want to come back, and I want to live my life with a guy that's going to be learning Torah day and night in a little apartment. I'm going to sit in the park with the rest of the frum girls like me, and we're going to talk about Hashem in the park with our strollers, and live happily ever after. But it's an amazing thing that's going on. So the ones that come from the rich homes, they want to be poor, not officially, and later on they come to their senses, but they want to be poor. So mom and dad should be careful to keep the account, not to spend all their money, because they're going to need it later on for these newly found religious ones. They're going to need plenty of money later on to support their religious discoveries. So on the one hand, the ones from the rich homes, they denounce wealth. They want to be poor. All I need is Hashem. And then the ones that come from the tzibroch and the poor homes, they denounce their poverty. And they just want to be, you know, life to be good and to be wealthy. This is a natural thing. It's not something that just happened all of a sudden. But it's an amazing time that we're living in. This is the generation that we're living in. And so each one is, you know, and it's interesting when these two sit down someplace and they meet and they have a conversation. All of this is part of what's happening before Mashiach comes in a very, very strong way. But Rav Kook says not to be mitzvah, not to be messiah, chas v'sholom. This all comes me omek ha'emes shebor ha'chaim shel ha'nesham. That there's going to be a tshuva pnimis. We're confused. Like children. Like children who finally, like somebody who's, you know, like when the kid first gets his license. I'm not talking about the girls, they're careful with their driving. But when a boy first gets his license. So I remember the first guy in our class in high school, they were these twins. They were the first ones that got their license. And we were all excited because the parents were going to let us go someplace, you know. They had a car, it was called a Duster. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
I had a Duster.
You heard
of
it? Oh, yeah?
I drove the Crop Duster.
Oh, Crop Duster, that's something else. This is just I think it was a Plymouth. Plymouth, right?
That's what my hand
is. So this friend of mine, I was at his house. There were two, myself and another friend, with the twins, with the two boys. And we lived in the same neighborhood, and it was the first time their parents were giving us to go there to drive their parents' car, and to go for to go someplace. We're going to go from Queens. We're going to go to meet some friends in Brooklyn. And the members of the mother, my friend's mother was a Polish survivor, and said to the son, Avramela, I want you to promise me you're not going to go higher than the speed limit, right? Chas v'chalil. Chas v'chalil. And she turns to the twin. She turns to the other one. Baruchel, you hear me? Everything should be, and follow all the signs when it's green. It's, Mommy, what do you think? Of course. We get into the car, we go like one block, and then everybody looks at each other. Go crazy all over, like swerving out of the, people are jumping off the streets. And that was our first trip to Brooklyn. I remember getting on the exit by the belt, cars almost crashing into us, and like laughing, and I'm turning the wheel, and I'm screaming at him, "What are you crazy? Go!" Beside this, part of growing up, you know, you have to hope they don't get killed. If they're daven, they shouldn't get killed, but they're not listening to you. Sometimes you get a kid that does, and it's not so clear that whether you're better off or is worse off the other way. It's not so clear. Some of the greatest people who ever lived were those like crazy drivers. I don't mean necessarily with a car. I mean those are those people that had a ruach chaim that was wild, a wild ruach chaim that gives parents unbelievable grief and aggravation, causes the rebellion to lose their minds. But if things work out, if Mamashav, big tzaddikim come from this. Right, we're talking a lot in the Chabuz Yosef Tzadi about the neshamas of Tov. Our generation is tremendous, these neshamas. So there's a hechich pnimi to be myself, but what is myself? I don't know. So myself right now is like I'm driving a race car. I'm some kind of a guy from a movie. That's myself. It's crazy. It's crazy. But that's our generation. And one shouldn't become depressed. And one shouldn't worry. It's, of course, there's a lot of aggravation. There's so many kilkulim in there's so many kilkulim before Mashiach comes. I was talking to a boy the other day. He's in his early 20s. What he's been through with drugs, this guy, I mean, it's like, he sounds like he's lived for 70, 80 years. The stories that he has, how sick he was, and he almost died, and then he was in rehab, and he was out and in, and then he had all these visions, and he had these things, and they had to take him. And they, such stories he was telling me, you know. And he's, you know, trying to put his life together. We never had, when I was growing up, we didn't have these kind of kilkulim. They were different kinds of kilkulim, but not like this, these kind of kilkulim. Look inside on the page that you have, page 69. This is a little, we're going to do a little bit, there's some very important notes, just the notes. This is the Torah that we're learning. From Eretz Chefetz, this is in the Erez HaTchiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph. The Torah that we just learned is part. It's not the entire Perek Lamed Aleph. It's a piece of Erez HaTchiyah Lamed Aleph. That's what we just finished. So Avinir has a perish over here, and he brings some very important notes. Let's just do these. Let's do a little bit of these notes. He brings from some of the big Talmidim of the Talmidim Rav Kook. So footnote 1334. You see it? Onam. During the time of in between, the Pekida the Zechira, meaning the time of being a teenager, Pekida, and in that time in between, growing up, adolescence, Hayelad Olu Lasas Kol Minei Shtiyos. The kid is likely to do all kinds of dumb things. So he says, to see the Maimet Tkuf as a Marva, there's a very, very deep maimer in the Mamorah Haraya. We're going to see a little... No, we're not going to see from there. We're going to see from the letters. Right, it would take a lot of time. It's a very hard maimer, but it's very choshev there. Ayin od b'sefer l'amunas itenu, l'Rab Tzvi Yisrael Tau. One of the great Talmidim of Rab Tzvi Yehuda Kook is Rab Tzvi Yisrael Tau. He is the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Hamor. Some of you might have heard of the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. It's a very, very choshev, beautifully... Yeshiva, he's an Adam Godel, Reb Tzvi Yisrael Tau. So he's written this, a set of svarim. By now it's already like 13 or 14 svarim that are called Emunas Itenu, the beautiful svarim. Most of the svarim, just about really all of the svarim are Perushim on Rav Kook's Torahs, Emunas Itenu. Chelek Aleph on Mekuf Nun Vav, where he writes about growing up. Individually and nationally. Just like there's individual adolescence, there's national adolescence. Gil ha'izbagrus shel ha'uma. The age of the nation maturing. And he writes the following. La'azboras ha'misrachish b'doreinu. In order to explain what's happening in our generation. In order to explain what's happening in our generation, we can use a very eye-opening mashal to understand our entire matzav, michinach hayelad, from the education of a child. B'tkufas yalduso, when the kid is little, hayelad gadol b'tivius, the child is growing is in a way of tivius, in a way that's natural. In a way, that's what he feels, what she feels. The tmimus of besimchas chayim. And the kid is in this place of tmimus, absolute tmimus, and simchas chayim. And a joy of being able to have what he wants and what she wants, and doing what he wants, and living according to his will and to her will. And therefore, this tmimus and simchas chayim. He's overflowing with all kinds of activities that express a certain type of self-confidence. You don't meet a little kid starting now earlier than ever before, but if you see a little 4 or 5 year old in the playground, there's no issue of poor self-esteem, right? Unfortunately, that begins earlier than it ever has, but it's later. The kid feels happy, feels bitachon atzmi rav, doesn't suspect any ulterior motives in himself, doesn't question himself or herself. Little kids don't question themselves. This is what I want, so. And if they don't have it, they cry. But they don't question themselves. There's no self-doubt in a little child. Because when you're not sure of the self, then there's self-doubt. But if you're sure of the self, then there's no self-doubt. What's there to doubt? Doubt, suffix, is something that comes when you get older. When you begin to become out of touch with your natural self, then you're wondering, is this really me? But a kid doesn't have such a question. Can you imagine going over to a little kid and saying, is this really you? Anybody that would say that to me or you, it would go, whoa, okay, you know, I don't want to talk to you about this or something. Or when do you want to talk? But, right, if someone says, what you're doing right now, is this really you? Maybe it's a legitimate question, no? If I ask you, is this really you? Like right now, we're all sitting here learning, is this really you? It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. But for a child, if you go over and the kid's playing, and you go over to the little kid, you go to the little kid and you say, "Yeah, uncle, is this really you?" Yeah, Shiloh. What's the choice? It might not be me. So who is it? Like the story of the guy in the mikveh, right? With the string around his foot in the mikveh. You know the Maaseh from Chelm. I've told him many times. You know this story? There's a fellow comes to the Rebbe in Chelm. It's a make-believe story. It's a Chelm story. He comes to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, and he's all upset. And the Rebbe says, what's the matter? Moshe, what's the matter? He says, Rebbe, I was in the mikveh. He says, no, that's good. No, I was in the mikveh and everybody was undressed. We're going to go ready to go to the mikveh, coming out of the mikveh. And then I looked around and everybody's the same. And I was wondering, maybe this is not me. How do I know this is me? I don't know this is me because then nobody had their clothing on. So I don't know. How do I know this is me? So Rebbe says, oh, it's a good question. So the Rebbe gave him a little string. And he says, put this around your ankle, your foot, and then go to the mikveh. And when you come out of the mikveh and you get nervous, maybe it's not you. You look at your foot and you see the string, then you know it's you. So, ooh, it's an eitzah. And he did this, and he got a string. He was so happy. He was going to the mikveh, and whenever he come out from the mikveh, so every now and then he got a little bit scared that maybe it's not me, because everybody looked the same. Maybe it's not me. And he go over there, he said, oh. And he was happy because he saw that. And he says, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's me. Then a terrible thing happened one time, that he went to the mikveh, and apparently the string was loose, and it went off of his foot, and it got onto the foot of some other Jew. So they come out from the mikveh, and he starts to get a little bit nervous. How do I know this is me? And he looks down at his ankle, and he doesn't see the string, and he looks, and he sees on somebody else, and he runs over to that Jew, and he says, Rabbi, I know who you are, but who am I? I know who you are, but who am I? It's a very deep story. But for a child, there's no suffix. When the kid comes out from the mikveh, there's no sveikas. When he's playing, no sveikas. The kid is screaming and yelling that he wants something, and mommy says, "Oh, this is not the little boy that I raised." He says, "It sure is. I'm exactly the boy that you raised. This is me." "No, you're not. It is me." But if somebody comes over to an adult and says, "This is not the person I know," it gets you nervous, no? Sure, it gets you nervous. And if someone says to you, "Is this really you? Is this really what you want to do? You really want to do this?" So you say, first you might say yes, but then you have to think, maybe not 100%. Maybe not 100%. By a kid, when he's doing something, it's not that there's something else he would rather do. Because if there's something else he would rather do, he'd be doing it. And the only reason he's not doing it is because people are telling him, "You can't do that now." But the kid will say, "I'd rather not go to school." I was talking to my granddaughter. I said, "Ilana Miriam, how was school today?" "No good." Just like that. I said, "What happened?" "Nothing." These are also conversations everybody's had. "Nothing." "So why is it no good?" No, I'd rather be home. That's all. Now, if your boss comes over to you at work and says, how's it going? I'm very impressed by the productivity of my group that you set me up with and so on. And I think that we're on a good track, sir. And I feel that based upon the statistics that we're solving for what we've done over the past 2 weeks, we could project a fantastic 2020. And I look forward to working together with our team, you know, all this stuff. And what he's in his head saying the whole time, just like Lonnie, I'd rather be home. No? I'd rather be home. So who are you? So there's a tivius that a child has. When Mashiach comes, we're all going to be like that, but in Kedusha. That's what this Torah is about. That's what's going to be the natural. Like I told you, the game of association, right? Like with Sikha. Echad miyade, echad miyade, echad lakem shemayim oros. Shnayim, shnei luchas abri, shleisha avos, arbi mos. Means TV. Not like with an adult. When someone says, when you hear the number one, what do you think of? Someone comes over to you and says, what do you think of when you hear the number one? So if you go over to a tzaddik, the tzaddik closes his eyes and says, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Baretz. Now, if you heard that story, and someone comes over to you, and they say, what do you think of when you hear the number one, what do you think of? So since you know the story, you could close your eyes also and say, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Baretz. But that's not true. That's not what you immediately think of when you think of one. Whatever your union is, you think of one this, one that, but not. Shnei luchas abriz. Shloisha avos. Arbi mos. Chamisha chum shetar. That song, that piyut at the end of the Haggadah means that the emuna is that by Leil HaSeder, a person can come to taste what it's going to be like when the Mashiach comes. Then when someone wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, four, instead of saying, four what? Why'd you wake me up? You say, Arbi mos. Arbi mos. It's not something that you have to say to impress, or you have to figure out. It's something which is flowing like, Namish, who you are. Tiv'i, that's a child. So there's no inyan by a child, what would you rather be doing? If I'd rather be doing it, I'd be doing it. What I'd rather be doing is what I'm doing right now, unless someone's stopping me. And the kid will tell you, like, why are you stopping me? And if he's obstinate, he'll scream and kick. But what I'd rather be doing is what I'm doing now. There's nothing I'd rather be doing more than what I'm doing right now. Can you imagine being in shul like that? There's nothing I'd rather be doing than davening right now. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than learning right now. You can feel that from time to time, but it's hard to live every moment like that. You could have moments like that, but to live like that, mamish, to live in that world of there's nothing I'd rather be doing, I can't think of anything that's better than this. This moment that I'm in right now of serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We could talk like that, but it's something which is, it's a madrega of children. We talk an atzmi rav. Ba'oizu b'merits. Ba'oizu b'merits. With great strength and great enthusiasm. A child could be doing the simplest thing, and it's with such excitement. You see how they run when they're playing, how they're always running. I'm not only talking about in the playground, even in the house. When they're just running from this toy to that, when they're going from this toy to that toy, they don't walk, they run. They run. We don't run that way to shul. You run when you leave shul, but not going to shul. Don't run that way to shul. Don't run that way to do a mitzvah. Children when they're doing something, they're running. Everything's running, running, running. Ishiyusa malaya midais taivais, the personality of a little child. Again, as they mature, it changes. But when they're little, it's filled with midas taivais and chayin, chachma v'tuv lev, a natural intelligence, because it changes from one kid to the next. V'tuv lev and a good heart. Nika b'shi yigdal via adam teferes, and if this is going to continue on. Hopefully, and he'll mature into a fine person, he'll be an Adam Teferes, he'll bring pride to everybody. Ulam Yeladzeh, based upon what we see, this child is going to be gevaldik. Ulam Yelazer, however, this same child, Sholosh Arba Shodim Uchar Yosef, 3 or 4 years later, Begil HaHizbagus, the time of adolescence, Ein Lahakiro, you can't recognize him or her. Your mom just don't recognize him. Ein Lahakiro. Humachapes is Atzmo. He's looking for himself. Until that time, he wasn't looking for himself. He was himself. He didn't have to go find it by somebody else's foot to find the string. He was himself. He didn't have to look for it anyplace else. Humachapes is Atzmo. Ein yodei l'shem mahu chai. He doesn't know. Why am I... He's asking. He's beginning to wonder. Why am I alive? What's the point of my life? Children don't have such questions. I'm alive. So, he doesn't have questions like this. Ein yodei l'shem mahu chai. Nia adish and shoyv samchuyos. He begins to be a person that goes against authority, that goes against everything that is the status quo. Ragzanum is boided. Oftentimes, we spoke a lot about this by Chabuz Yosef Tzadik, begins to get angry and spends time by himself, by herself, and feels lonely. And don't know why. Everything is good. Life is good. You have what you need. All of the wonderful and happy things and beautiful things that he was busy with when he was a kid, botlu, are finished. And all the natural life and joy of natural life has now disappeared. Hamevin b'chinuch. A person who understands education meaning raising kids, Yochel Hasbir Harim Anavuchim, can explain to the confused parents as Peshem Matzav Shal Yelad the meaning of what the kid is, what his matzav is. Kevin Shahativius Hayaldus is Shuv Enam Minahelis Es Achayim Michad Gisa. On the one hand, that natural life of the child is no longer what's running this kid's life. That his nature is Tamimus, his nature. Meidach Gisa. On the other hand. On the other hand, true understanding and true maturity have not yet developed in him. Have not yet set in. It's the beginning of maturity. It's the beginning. He's beginning to develop, but he doesn't yet know the tachlis. He doesn't yet understand. So he's in between. That's where we are right now. He's in between. Al kein hayelad v'hamavulgar nilchamim b'saycha. Therefore. The kid and the adult inside of the kid are at war with each other. Inside this teenager, the child and the adult are mamish at war. A mamish at war inside of the child. There's a milchama, a bitter milchama. He's yelling at the parents. But inside of himself, there's a milchama between the little that little boy that had everything, was happy and was himself, and that confusion of not knowing what and who I am and losing all that I once had. And there's a milchama going inside. Talichim koshim oivim alav. Difficult things are going. He's passing through difficult things. Ad shu yagil l'day bashlus ha'ishus, until he's able to uncover and to recognize his true personality, who he is. Hagedola is a mature person. V'hamavugeres shalom. Ach ein mokem ledaiga. We'll pick up on that mitzvah next day of Shabbos. Give me just to write down. Ach ein mokem ledaiga.